And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on 99.1 on a Thursday morning between 9 and 10 o'clock for our regular Community Conversations program. I know we have some regular listeners out there, and if you're one of those, fantastic. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to the program, and we promise this morning to have an interesting conversation that I think you'll find really valuable. Can you believe it's the 30th of September? The last day of September was only just, well, excuse me, being very corny, 1 month ago that we kicked off spring on the 1st of September, and now we're rapidly heading into the last quarter of the year, and Christmas, wow, are we allowed to say that yet? No. Rapidly heading that way. And how are you? We started the month with the Are You OK Day on our first Thursday of the month. And let me ask you that at the end of the month, are you OK? We're all doing it very tough out there, aren't we? And it just seems to go on and on, doesn't it? The hardest part of these 7-day lockdowns is the first 6 weeks. But yes, it certainly goes on, and hope you are all okay, and make sure you talk to someone if you're not. Well, what else is coming up? We've got the AGM for Yarra Valley FM 99.1 coming up in just 4 weeks' time on the 29th of October, so make sure you've got that in your diary and come along. And yes, we have COVID, lots of announcements and all of that happening as well. One of the most popular areas of our programs over the years has been, how do we support community groups? How do we support nonprofits to get resources, to get the funding they need to run the amazing programs, to run the services across so many different areas, whether that's health or disability, housing, education, aged care, whatever it is, service clubs. I know many of you listeners here this morning are involved in many of those groups, so good on you. And so by popular request this morning, we're going to have another look at fundraising. Just how do we get those resources that your group, your organisation, your entity really needs? And I can't think of anyone better than my very special guest who's coming all the way from Williamstown this morning, Pamela. I've known Pamela, I was trying to think, before I do the full introduction, Pamela, I think I first met you when you were the executive director of the Zoos Victoria Foundation back in about 2010. Would that be about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right, Bruce.
Yes.
Nice to talk to you today.
Yes. And Pamela, wonderful, wonderful to have your company. And wow, I was just looking through your website, which we'll give listeners a little bit later, but your journey, wow, I feel tired just looking at it and reading it through. Among many other things, you are a community bank director over in Williamstown. You're a strategist. You're a soon-to-be author. We're going to talk about your book this morning. The big one recently, wow, Victorian Telstra Businesswoman of the Year. Congratulations, Pamela. That's a biggie.
Thank you. It was a few years ago now. It was 2006-07. But, yeah, it was a very, very... I'm very proud to have received that award for the work we did with Plan International, in fact, in the Melbourne Commonwealth Games.
That's absolutely terrific. And Cora here was asking me, what does that involve? So we'll have to ask you that later on. You've also been CEO of Bush Heritage Australia. As I mentioned, you were the executive director of Zoos Victoria Foundation from 2010 to 2015. And before that, you worked for Oxfam and Plan International, you just mentioned. And a little birdie just told me less than half an hour ago that you were recently elected to the Hobsons Bay City Council as well.
That's right.
Yes. Wow, there you go. So I don't know how you find time to be on radio with us, Pamela, but we're really pleased you do. So,
I'm very happy to be here, Bruce. And are you okay, Bruce?
Yes. It's been a tough old winter here in Victoria, hasn't it? For all of us, and particularly for the not-for-profit sector and the small and medium business sector are doing it really tough. Pamela, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued just how one gets interested in fundraising. I'm wondering as a child whether you know at age five whether you used to help people collect coins or something or other, or where did it all start, Pamela?
Well, funnily enough, I used to do little raffles around our local area. So used to raffle off Easter eggs and try and find people to, donate the money to. I think it all started with jumble sales. You know, my mother, my sisters and I were big jumble sale fans. You don't really have jumble sales here. I suppose more like a trash and treasure or
yes,
a car
yes.
boot sale. But jumble sales were a big thing. So, finding treasures and helping your local church or your local scrap.
Where was that, Pamela? Where did you grow up, actually?
I was born in London, in England. And I grew up in, I started in Kentish Town. And then I moved to St John's Wood when we went to school in London.
I've been to both of those places, I can proudly say.
Oh, good, good. And then when my father died, we moved to Bedfordshire, and where I had an auntie, and I stayed there until I was 18, 19, and then I moved to the Middle East for a few years. I worked in Dubai for 3 years.
Okay. That's another program for another day. That'd be fascinating.
Absolutely. And then traveled and I've been traveling ever since. So I came to Australia over 30 years ago now and came for 2 years and I'm still here.
Wow, fantastic. And let's do a quick shout out to some of your family. You've just mentioned a couple of family, but Christoph, if you're listening, Carol, Sister Carol, big shout out to you. And Auntie Mari, if you're there on the line, wonderful to have your company this morning. You're with Bruce Argyle on Community Conversations, and my very special guest via Zoom from Williamstown this morning is Pamela Sutton Legault. I hope I've pronounced that correctly there, Pamela.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there we go. And Pamela has an amazing history, if you've just joined us, across many, many parts of the not-for-profit community. And I'm sure, like myself, Pamela, you were frustrated, or perhaps I'm putting words in your mouth, I was frustrated often by the fact that I didn't have the resources as a CEO, as a director of a not-for-profit, to be able to do the amazing things I wanted to do, And so, Pamela, I had a short stint in fundraising, just 2 years I survived, and that was back early this century. And it's a tough area to be a part of. But we'll come back to that in a moment. Pamela, you talked a little bit about the journey that you've come all the way from the UK to Australia. So perhaps the first question is the community sector in terms of fundraising and resources, is it incredibly different in Australia than what it was back there in the UK? I mean, is it harder? Is it easier? How is it different?
Well, in truth, I only joined the sector when I came to Australia. So I was working in an advertising agency in the UK, and I came out here just after the first big stock market crash. And it took a few years of working. I worked as a recruiter and various other things. And then I joined the community sector. And I think it's challenging everywhere. It's just that in the UK and in Europe, obviously, it's much bigger. And you have some of the groups are more connected. So you'll have the big international aid agencies, Oxfam, Plan International, Care International, those sorts of things.
There's more for-profit ones, I think, over in the UK, aren't there, Pamela, than there would be here in Australia?
In terms of commercial entities?
Yeah, for-profit organisations in health and so on.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. And I mean, here we've got I think it's probably the same here as in overseas, in that you've got a very small number of very large charities and then a whole lot of small ones. So most of the fundraising, most of the income goes to those larger organisations purely because they have the capacity and the resources and the systems to drive that income. And they get money from government as well. So smaller entities obviously find it harder to attract government funding, trust and foundation, grant funding, that type of thing.
Mm.
So the smaller you are, the fewer resources you have. Once you get to those sort of mid-tier organisations, they have a little bit more structure, a few more systems, and so you can raise a bit more money. I think it's challenging for everyone, and certainly COVID has put pressure on just about everything, not least of which organisations that rely on volunteers.
Yes, we're going to let's come back to that one, because that's a special topic, I think. Pamela, I am absolutely aghast or amazed at the fact that you have had your You've been involved in raising $150 million for a whole lot of not-for-profits and charities over the years, and we've mentioned a few of those already, but that is a huge amount, and I know that takes all sorts of forms from writing grant submissions you've just mentioned to capital appeals and a whole lot of other things. But before we go there, I mean, I'm just amazed at that story. One of the things you say on your website, and I'll give that to listeners in a bit, is that you should start where you are. That, yes, there's all sorts of different approaches, but start where you are. What do you mean when you say start where you are?
Well, there's always a temptation to put things off. I mean, we're, you know, inherently we like to procrastinate, but we also like to say, well, when I have more staff, I'll do this. You know, when I have more structure or more policies or I'm clearer about what I'm going to do, then I'll do something. And what we need to be doing, saying, well, we're here right now, you've got what you've got, what can we do with what we have now? And I think that's a really fundamental piece of sort of strategic thinking. You know, you can't, there's no point waiting until you have all the ducks in a row, because you'll never have all the ducks in a row.
we wish we did, Pamela, but we won't.
That's
fantastic. Listeners, if you want to have a look at an amazing fundraising website, do go on to Pamela's website, which is just www.fundraisingdirector.com. I hope I've got that right, Pamela. Yes. So just fundraisingdirector.com, and there's all sorts of amazing tips, suggestions, resources. We'll come back to resources as well on that website. Pamela, why? Why is it that fundraising is so tough for many organisations? It just seems to be their undoing. It seems to be the point that they can't get past. We haven't got those resources. We can't do that. We'd like to, but we can't. You know, why?
Well, as I say in my book, The Fundraiser's Handbook, you know, you need a plan. And often we mix urgency with importance. So we're so worried about the urgent that we've got to do it now, we must do it today, you know, which goes against what I said before, you know, that we put everything off. So we've got this combination of not being willing to take the time to plan and thinking that everything is urgent. So so I think if sitting down and looking at, well, what resources you actually have, what can you do with what you have, and where do we want to go? That is often very unclear. For most organisations, what is it we're trying to raise money for? How much do we want to raise, and when do we need it by? And if we can start to create a plan around that, then we can take some actions and figure out what resources we need along the way. And I've worked with many, many organisations, and very few have any kind of written plan.
There you go. Wow, there's the starting point, listeners. And we're going to come back and tease that out in a moment. And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. My very special guest is Pamela Legault, and we're talking fundraising for not-for-profits, for community organisations and so on. And Pamela, you mentioned off air that in relation to who gets involved in this effort in your organisation, is it just one person or is it a bunch of people? Is it one key person, Pamela?
Well, there's usually someone who's delegated the responsibility for fundraising. And depending on the size of the organisation, it could be the fundraising director or it could be a volunteer. It could be a paid person. But what I would say is fundraising is a team sport. You want to do it together. You know, figure out together how you're going to raise the money, what money you want to raise, and then collaborate. There may be one person who's better at asking for money. There may be one person who's better at writing grants, but it never should we just leave that job to one person and say, well, you know, let us know how that works out. You know, it's a team effort. So I would say everybody donates to the extent that they can, and that means time, talent, and treasure. So your time, of course, your talent, we all want that, and your treasure, donate some cash. Because that's often what the organisation wants. And once you have skin in the game, once you've actually parted with some of your own money, it changes how you feel about the organisation and it changes how you talk about the organisation. Because why do people donate? Because they care, because they love what you do and they love the cause that you're trying to support. So you want to show that, and it comes through when you've made a financial contribution to an organization. So I'd say don't leave your fundraisers on their own to do the job alone. Collaborate with them. Everybody gets involved. Fundraising is a team sport for the organization. Work out where you want to go and how much you want to raise, and then who's best at doing that for you.
Fantastic. Pamela, I went hunting for your book, the Fundraiser's Handbook, and was embarrassed then when you told me that it's not quite out yet, but it's on the way.
So it's currently with my trusty proofreader, but it will be available soon. So when people go to the website, if they can either email me, and I'm sure you'll give them my details, or visit the website, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you the information as soon as the book's available. It will be available as a digital download as well as a hard copy book.
Fantastic.
Once it's finished.
And that website, again, is just W's Fundraising Director. That's all one word, fundraisingdirector.com. Yes, there's a picture of the book there, Pamela, because we were trying
with
to...
a sort of bullseye on it, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, you can just Google me or Google Pamela Sutton Legault or the Fundraiser's Handbook. I should pop up. So, I'm really happy to answer any questions that people have about fundraising or what they do with their community group or their organisation, because I know this is a tough area that people feel is a little bit of a mysterious black box.
It is, it's so important.
I'm just trying to remove the mystery from that.
Yes, fantastic. I'm looking forward to reading it. Will it be out before the end of the year, do you think, Pamela?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, the deadly Christmas deadline. Yes, it will be. It will be. And so I will let you know, Bruce, as soon as it's available.
Great.
So you can let everyone else know.
Yes, and I see it's very easy to sign up as a subscriber there. No cost. So go on the website, sign up, and you'll be in the know. And Pamela, we won't have time to go through them all, but you've got some amazing case studies there on your website. And I'm just wondering, would you like to just share, without any forewarning, would you like to share one story of an organisation that went on a fundraising journey that
sure.
Well, hopefully was successful?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, there's some big stories like, you know, when Plan International was chosen to be the inaugural charity partner for the Commonwealth Games. The Games had never had a charity partner in its history.
Oh, wow.
And we created that category. We then had to bid for it and compete for it and were chosen as the charity partner. So that has created a category. So I would suggest anyone who sees the Commonwealth Games coming near them to talk to the charity, to the Commonwealth Games organisers about who their charity partner is, because that really was a really essential part of moving us forward as an organisation. And if you look at, from there we went with, in the US there was Plan International has a sister organisation, which was mentioned in a film with Jack Nicholson. So we wrote to the film's distributors and said, hey, could we do the launches in Australia? and a bit cheeky, you have to be cheeky, you know, you have to grasp the opportunities while you can, you know.
That suits me, that suits me, Pamela.
Sometimes they'll say to you no, or sometimes they'll say yes. Like the Commonwealth Games said, you can't be a sponsor because you're a charity. We said, well, why can't we be a charity partner? And they said, oh, all right, let's go think about that. You know, so you have to think through where can we have our opportunities, how do we build our profile? And the link with About Schmidt, which was the Jack Nicholson film, where he sponsors a child in the film, was such a fantastic connection with a major, major star, a big film, and we leveraged that all around the country and helped people learn about the benefits and the wonderful feeling that it gives you to sponsor a child. So, you know, I think these are, and there's more detail obviously on
sure.
the website,
yes.
But, you know, these are, what I look for is ways to leverage opportunities when they're there. They may not seem obvious in the first instance, but, you know, you try and you give it a go and you talk to people. We had the help with the Commonwealth Games with a very involved volunteer who really thought this was a good idea as well. So there you go. We had a volunteer who was part of the Commonwealth Games, who was saying, yes, we think this is a good idea and we'll support you. Mm. So Like everything in life, it's about relationships.
I was just going to say, that was the exact word I was just going to throw at you there, Pamela. It does seem that relationships are absolutely critical to successful fundraising.
Yeah, it's, you know, imagine, you know, fundraising is a bit like, you know, getting married. You don't normally ask people for, you know, to get married on the first day. Sometimes that works.
We won't go there.
So fundraising is about building relationships. You know, you don't want to be asking people for money the first time you meet them. You know, sometimes you do as part of, you know, you're sending out a letter or you're making a phone call. But in general, you want to build relationships. And the larger the gift, the stronger that relationship needs to be. So whether you're understanding what the trustees of a foundation wants or you're understanding what an individual wants, it is about not just what I want as a charity, it's how can I help this person meet their philanthropic goals as well. You know, when everybody gave to the bushfires, it was for love, you know, for love of animals, for love of people who had been affected by the bushfires, for love of the country, you know, that had been so devastated. So if you allow people the opportunity to donate, you're actually giving them an opportunity to show gratitude for something they care about.
Fantastic.
And so that's what I believe is, you know, fundraising is not just about raising money. It's allowing people to show gratitude and be involved in something they care about.
Yes, terrific. Listeners, regular listeners, you might remember some weeks back I had as my special guest the CEO of Rainforest Rescue, which was a Queensland-based organisation that is establishing a nursery to re-vegetate a lot of the rainforest that's been destroyed up north. And we were telling the story about the grant that I was involved in giving this organisation some months ago. And I just heard the word yesterday that, Pamela, you'll be interested, that the Ian Potter Foundation has given them over $300,000 to expand their nursery and to really make it a viable operation. So
they're a wonderful organisation, the Ian Potter Foundation.
They certainly are. We're going to come back and we're going to ask you a couple of questions about women in leadership and things like that. And if you've just joined us, my very special guest this morning is Pamela Sutton Legault, former Victorian Telstra Businesswoman of the Year and Hobsons Bay City Councillor and a whole lot of other things. Wow, Pamela, I do feel tired just looking at your CV. If you want to contact Pamela, she's just indicated off air to me that she's happy to take any questions or to follow up anything for you. Just send her an email. Here it is, PSLEGAUD. That's Pamela Sutton Legault. That's PSLEGAUD at gmail.com. Or if you missed that, go to her website, which is fundraisingdirector.com, and her email is on there, and also details of her upcoming book, soon to be released, The Fundraiser's Handbook. I can't wait to read it, Pamela. I reckon there's going to be some great stories in there. Are there some case studies?
Absolutely.
I thought there would be. watch this space, and if you're involved in a not-for-profit organisation, there's a great Christmas present idea for someone coming up. And Pamela, we are rapidly running out of time, but I've got more questions. So let me just ask you, the key successes, you've already said about, you know, knowing where to start and so on, but it seems to me that actually asking is part of the success. Tell us a bit about that.
Absolutely. And it's the thing most people are terrified of. I understand that. So, you know, one of the first chapters in the book is let's deal with the elephant in the room, you know. But there are two things that are the most important when it comes to fundraising. People have to know that your cause exists, so you have to raise awareness of what you're doing and why you're doing it, and then somebody has to ask someone for a donation. So whether you want to do that face-to-face, by telephone, in a letter, but you have to ask. And sometimes you'll have to ask more than once, but you have to ask. Mm. So people are not going to find you and suddenly decide that yours is a wonderful cause. That might happen. I mean, when you have emergencies and things like that, then the profile of individual organisations can be very high. But generally speaking, if you want to raise money, raise your profile, ask for money.
Pamela, in the Australian psyche, I might be... I mean, I lived in the US and it's quite different over there in terms of fundraising and philanthropy, but the Australian psyche would say, well, I might get pushed back. People might think I'm too pushy, or something or other, or they might say no.
Absolutely, and they might say no. But you won't know until you ask. So one of the things I say in my book is to be prepared. It's about taking people on that journey and building a relationship. You know, the larger the gift, the larger the donation, the more time and effort you want to put into building that relationship. I was mentioning that the Williamstown Surf Life Saving Club recently got a state government grant. They built relationships. They told people about why they needed to improve their facilities and received, you know, over $11 million. A grant for $11 million.
Wow,
so I think now that's a very large example. But at the smaller level, you know, if you're getting funding from one group, you can use that to leverage to get funding from another group. You know, go tell people about your successes and help people understand why working with you, supporting that particular charity, is going to make any difference. Because people give because you meet needs, not because you have needs.
Yes.
It's not that you want the money, it's that you're going to meet a need that person thinks is important. So I'm a big supporter of BirdLife. They're a great group that supports bird conservation, and we talked about that, Bruce.
We did, and can I tell listeners, because yeah. I can proudly say I was involved last year. They have a backyard bird survey that they do every year, and I did it last year and counted birds, and it was a great week. This year, it's coming up. It's the 18th to the 24th of October, so only 3 weeks' time. Yeah, put it in your diary, but go to Aussie Birds Count. Is that right? That's
Aussie
right.
Bird. Yeah. Aussie Bird Count.
Aussie Bird Count, sorry. AussieBirdCount.org.au, and you'll hear all the details about the backyard bird count. And yes, I just found out that you are a director of National Bird Life. Well, there you go, Pamela. I didn't know that about you. Well, where does the time go? We are almost out of time. My very special guest, Pamela Sutton-Legault, this morning, has an amazing story to tell, and there's a whole lot more information on her website, which is www.fundraisingdirector. That's all one word, fundraisingdirector.com. She's going to be launching an amazing publication, which I can't wait to get my hot little hands on, entitled The Fundraiser's Handbook, which Pamela says is coming out in the next couple of months. And so look forward to that. Sign up on the website for details about the book, but other useful information around fundraising, if that's something that is important to you and to your organisation. Pamela, I don't know how to thank you. You've made it sound very easy. It's not. We know it's not easy. We know it's not easy. But there are some things you can do that certainly help. Get you on the right track, and I suppose avoid some of the common pitfalls in this area.
Absolutely. And I would just encourage everyone to get together, to collaborate. This is, as I said, it's a team sport. Work with the people who want to get involved in this area. Write a plan. Decide where you want to go, how much money you want to raise, what resources you have at your disposal. And don't worry. I really do believe in, the abundance of the universe, right? This is not a pot that just keeps shrinking. You know, where there is need, there is support. You know, this all comes from love and from people wanting to support the things they love. So I encourage you to get out there and tell people about what you love and why you need the funds. And I really believe that will help you get the money that you need for your cause.
Fantastic. Pamela, a huge thank you. Cora and I have been We've been absolutely rapt at what you've been saying this morning here and just comparing notes, and really thank you for your generosity in sharing the story, and look forward to the book. And listeners, if you have missed the session this morning, it will be podcast here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thank you, Greg, next week, so you can get it there. Pamela, we'll see you around the traps. Hopefully we'll be able to walk into a coffee shop in Collins Street sometime soon.
It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all.